This is a Cortez Radio news update. Close to a billion marine creatures may have perished in BC's recent heat wave. For many Cortez Island residents, the first they heard of this may have been when local shellfish grower Eric Lyon was interviewed by the CBC. He reported losses of between 5 and 20% on a comparatively wet site in Desolation Sound, but expected to see higher mortality rates elsewhere. There have also been an abnormally high number of shellfish deaths at least two sites on Cortez Island. Dr. Chris Harley, a marine biologist at the University of British Columbia, said that Ricky Ballinger from the Discovery Passage Aquarium in Campbell River
emailed with some observations because they have to go out and collect things to feed their moon snails and sea stars. And they saw a lot of dead cockles in that area and have been hearing from members of the public who've observed dead fish and intertidal fish and other things. Then somebody else emailed me from up in the Broughton Archipelago and had noticed some things dying there too. I've heard from someone who was sailing north of Clem 2, noticed the smell and had a look on the shore, and there were a lot of dead barnacles. So Clem 2 to Hood Canal, where people have seen dead clams, that's 600 and some kilometers as the crow flies. And of course, with the convoluted coastline, it's far more coastline than that. So it's a big area that's been affected.
CKTZ News had a Q&A with Dr. Harley yesterday morning. I jotted down a few thoughts or questions I wanted to ask. Well, actually, I think they're the same ones you're getting everywhere else. The big one, I guess we could start off, is what happened?
We had some of the hottest weather we'd ever had, and it happened to be on days with very low tides, and that combination was pretty lethal for a lot of things.
I read a billion marine creatures might have died.
Yeah. And that's based on seeing how many died in a small area, knowing how many small areas fit into a medium-sized area, and then how much coastline is similar to that through the Salish Sea.
I have a hard time getting my head around it. First of all, I didn't even know there were a billion marine creatures. And then what does this mean in terms of the whole population?
Yeah, so using mussels as an example, because that's a species that I've seen a lot of mortality in around Vancouver, where I've been looking so far. The numbers are really large because there were a lot of mussels to start with. So in an area about the size of a stovetop, you can fit a few thousand mussels. So you can imagine if you go down to a beach or a rocky shore, how many stovetops of habitat that might be. And then how many kilometers there are. There's 7,000 some kilometers of shoreline in the Salish Sea. So as you scale up, those numbers get very big, very fast. Not all of the mussels died. If they were in the shade, if there was some seaweed over top of them, if they were on a sort of a steep north-facing surface, they were okay. And that's the pattern that I'm seeing in place after place, is if you were on a flat rock or you were facing south or west, that was really big trouble. But if you were in the shade, you might have been okay. So those survivors are the ones that are going to reproduce and produce the next generation. And hopefully we'll see some recovery by next year or 2 years from now.
When I heard about it, I emailed some of my Cortez Island oyster growers. Mm-hmm. One who operates out of a raft emailed, "What are you talking about?" back to me. Another one who also has a shoreline lease was actually interviewed by the CBC, and he was talking about, I forget, it might have been 15 to 20% losses. He said he happened to be in an area that was cooler and wetter.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've been remiss in reaching out to some of the growers. You know, I know a lot of the oyster culture is raft-based, and most of the mussel culture is raft-based. And so those things are probably okay through the heat wave. But oysters on the beach, I'm hearing reports from Washington where they're trying to do restoration for the Olympia oyster, and it was also sort of a 15 to 20% loss at some of their sites. And then other sites seem to have done better than that. I think the clam farmers might have had higher losses. Really deep low tides killed a lot of cockles.
Now that the shellfish have been exposed to extreme heat, are they going to be weaker in the future?
As individuals, how do they respond? Is that what you're interested in knowing?
Are they going to be weaker?
Oh, okay.
In their health in the years coming?
Yeah. So it could go either way. So I have a student right now named Graham Brownlee who's been working with the California mussel, the big one you see on the outer coast, not the blue mussel we have, in more protected waters. And he found that if you get them used to hotter temperatures, then they can survive hotter temperatures. So there is some acclimation that mussels can do. And so if they get enough warm days ahead of a hot day, they're more likely to do well on a hot day. The problem is if it gets so hot that they become stressed and there's some internal damage that they suffer, then they're more vulnerable to all kinds of other things. So the next hot day might be worse than it would have been if they've already been compromised. They might be more vulnerable to predators because they've been compromised. They might be more vulnerable to pathogens because they've been compromised. And that's sort of one of the big mysteries in climate change ecology right now is how often does a little bit of heating make you more robust and do better? And how much does a little bit of heating set you up for failure when the next stress arrives?
That's actually leading right into my next question. One, have you ever seen anything like this? And two, what does it mean as the climate warms up?
I was working in California as a postdoc in the early 2000s, and there was an unusual heat wave that corresponded with very calm weather and a good low tide. And we saw some mussels on the coast there north of San Francisco die. So it's not unheard of to have heat kills. And I've seen small ones even in places like Bamfield on the west coast of Vancouver Island, which you don't think of as being a hot place. You know, every once in a while it gets hot enough that some barnacles may die or something may die. This recent heat wave, though, I think is pretty unique because of how much hotter it was than the long-term average temperature for that time of year, and how many animals died, and how many different species died, and how extensive that was across the shoreline. It wasn't just a few things really high on the shore because they're out of the water for a long time. It was things very low on the shore, which might have only been exposed for an hour or two, but it was an hour or two of oppressively hot conditions. So I've now talked to quite a number of people who live around Vancouver, on Vancouver Island, in the Gulf Islands, and the longtime residents are all saying, oh, I have never seen anything like this in 30 years, or I've never smelled anything like this in 30 years from that stench of decay. So I think this event really was a unique one. In terms of the longer term implications, it comes down to how often we might see these events and how severe they are. And climate change is sort of loading the dice against us, and they will become more frequent and they will become more severe. And things like mussels can recover pretty quickly. And we might see those back on the shores in Vancouver and West Van as early as next year or the year after. But some of the other things like the clams may take longer to recover. And if the time it takes to recover becomes longer than the time between heat waves, that's when you start to see really big ecological changes, because you can just no longer support populations if they can't recover enough between big die-offs.
So we have a potential extinction.
I don't know. Well, actually, it's possible. It's also possible that things will just be forced to move further north. This is sort of a wrinkle that applies to the Salish Sea that's unique. The Salish Sea is just a warm place. The air temperatures here are warmer than, say, the outer coast or of Oregon or Washington. And so you have things that are reasonably used to warm conditions, but you know, not as severe as the heat dome that we just had. If we were on the outer coast, I would say, okay, the west coast of Vancouver Island is going to start to look more like the coast of Oregon or Northern California or even Southern California as all those species migrate north. But in the Salish Sea, to get species that are warm adapted enough, you have to go way further south to Southern California or even into Mexico. And it's just unlikely that those species are going to swim here or drift here as larvae. And so we don't have the warm species replacements for Victoria or Campbell River or Vancouver that you might have just based on how far you would have to go to get a species that's used to warmer environments.
Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to give?
Well, for me as an ecologist and just sort of a concerned person, one of the silver linings is the fact that people are interested in this and they are noticing. It gives me some hope that people still care about nature. And so I derive some inspiration from that, which I like. And I also oddly use the COVID pandemic as a source of hope, because climate change is like the pandemic. It's this big, scary thing where a single individual can't necessarily make much impact. But when we all work together and make small changes, all those small changes add up. So if we're inspired to make change and reduce the likelihood that we'll see severe heat waves like this for the rest of this century, there are things that we can do and they will matter.
Are you talking about things like lowering your emissions and...
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just finding even little things that don't seem like they would matter that much. I'm curious to see how many people start working from home 1 or 2 days a week. That'll take some cars off the roads. How many people will just buy a more energy efficient toaster the next time they need to replace a toaster? You know, all these little things are good in the long run.
You've been listening to an interview with Dr. Chris Harley, a marine biologist at the University of British Columbia, about the mass die-off of shellfish along the west coast during the recent heat wave.